I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to another episode of The Memo. It is Monday, October the 5th, 2015.
It is Monday.
It sure is.
We're going to need some stronger coffee in here to get through this.
I've had two cups already, and I'm still...
And you're still like this?
I'm still hurting.
You are not the Maxwell House poster boy.
No, I don't drink Maxwell House anymore.
Well, whatever you are, you're dragging.
I am dragging. It's only Monday, and I'm already pretty much done with this
week. It's about the sixth cup where it really kicks off for me.
Yeah.
That's what you look like right now. Yeah. Your hair looks wonderful. Are you doing something different with it?
No. It's same old hair. Thanks.
Yeah, it's good. Did you have a good weekend?
It's not bad. Yeah. What'd you do?
Well, I'm Derek, by the way. That's Brad.
Yeah. If you didn't catch it in the intro, I'm Brad. That's Derek.
I don't think we said it, did we?
The intro.
Oh, that thing back there?
That
thing that we do at the beginning?
Yeah, that thing.
I need six cups of Maxwell House coffee. What are you drinking over there?
The stuff from the break room. It's not bad.
It's not Maxwell House.
My brother's cup, I think that's what it's called.
My brother's cup?
Yeah, that's it.
Never heard of it. That sounds like a 80s TV, well, that's CBS who, that's sitcom.
That's who provides our
coffee. My brother's cup.
That's who our
Fridays at 7:30 on CBS. They're on Fridays. They were sure to get canceled.
Well, that's TGIF. Family Matters. Step by Step. I'm going down memory lane.
Uh-huh. Right? Boy Meets World.
Love that show. Anyway.
Welcome back, sorry. Brad. We lost him there to the early 90s for a minute. No, I did not have a good weekend.
Oh, okay.
Those two games really
soured me on everything.
I'm the one exception that you will find, and I've heard other people say this, but it's not really true, that I will root for Ole Miss if they're playing. I'm good with a Mississippi win. Now, when it comes to State and Ole Miss, I want State to win.
Sure.
Because alma mater, but I don't like seeing Ole Miss lose.
I like seeing the Mississippi teams do well.
That's exactly right.
I'm not like, yay, Bulldogs.
I mean,
or
I'm
yay
not
Rebels,
about to say that HT, those HT words.
Howdy, toddy.
You said it. You've awoken something in the studio. Yeah, those words.
Howdy, toddy, Hail State.
Yeah, there you go. See, I'll say Hail State. But
Hail toddy.
Oh, that sounds.
See, I have no allegiances, so I can do this and make people
Why
angry.
Do you have no allegiances?
Because I am a recovering sports writer. I mean, I was. You do that job long enough, you just eventually you're like, I don't care. Just get the game over with.
Hi,
I got a deadline to hit.
My name is Brad.
And I have no collegiate loyalties in the South.
Hi, Brad.
I don't think I want to get better.
Got a high five from my producer, Chris Gieber, for perfect timing on that one. Neither game was pretty.
No, State was at least in it in the second half. Ole Miss was pretty much out of it by halftime where they were playing. Injuries are catching up to them on the O-line and elsewhere. That's the problem.
Well,
and Florida maybe is like actually good now.
Do you think it was a level of cockiness as well when going into it?
Could have been. I mean, they looked kind of bad the week after the Alabama win against Vandy.
Yeah.
And so I think there's probably a little bit of a hangover still from that. And, again, they got beat up pretty bad in that Alabama game.
Yeah.
I guess some guys hurt. They're still without Laramie Tunsil, holding him out while that NCAA investigation concludes, whenever that is. Yeah, that could be it. I mean, it's only one loss. It was on the road to a ranked team. So, you know, their season still has a lot of promise to it.
I took it too, Brad. The fact that it's an Eastern Division team helps them too. They still control their destiny to win the West, technically.
Yeah, I guess so. I haven't even looked at the standings, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously Alabama's got a loss. I guess A&M is still undefeated, so they're the front runner. SEC loss is an SEC loss, but again, it was to a good team. And if Florida keeps it up, and if Ole Miss can, you know, put the pieces back together quickly, maybe those two teams meet again in Atlanta. Who knows? I don't know, man. After what Will Muschamp did at Florida, I have a hard time believing that they're going to be back this quickly. I'm sure they're going to hit reality at some point, but they looked awfully good against Ole Miss the other night. No, who didn't look good was Georgia, which not the least bit surprised that they crapped the bed at home against Alabama, because that's the kind of game Georgia loses.
Yeah.
When they have a chance, they're highly ranked, they have a chance to make a statement win against Alabama, and they get blown out. So,
well,
God bless Mark Richt, but that's just the kind of game he doesn't
win. I guess it doesn't apply to that one, but I know our friend John Pitts always says, hard to win on the road. at the SEC. And sure of course, is. Ole Miss and State both on the road. Ole Miss dropping from number 3 in the nation to number 18.
14. And State is out of the rankings.
State's gone out of it.
And I know there was talk on Saturday. I was in here working, and John Pitts, the aforementioned John Pitts, was saying with Ohio State game being so close, Michigan State being so close, there was really a chance for Ole Miss to have been number 1 potentially had they won.
Exactly.
Kind of, you know, blew that opportunity.
And John was already making plans Saturday to, you know, really play up Ole Miss being number 1. Of course, MSU got up to number 1 last year. We played that up huge. Ole Miss got close to number 1 last year. And that, like you said, if that had happened, I mean, yeah, that would have been good for us, you know, sell more papers. I mean, you can't beat that. I mean, we love when the Mississippi teams do well in football. We saw that last year.
Yeah, it benefited everybody. He did say there's an alternate universe where he's got really good sports pages for Sunday morning.
Yeah, so it's too bad, but it's the SEC. It's one week. You can't make sweeping judgments based on one game, which people do anyway because
that's what everybody does.
But you can't do that. Yeah. So hey, they're back at it this week. I think they're both at home. So we'll see what happens.
We wish them both the best.
Yes. So
break a leg, but please don't break a leg.
Don't actually break a leg, especially Laquan Treadwell. Don't break a leg.
No broken limbs of any kind.
No.
Other than football, we've got a full show for you today.
I'm going to drink some coffee real quick.
You just go keep right ahead. Keep talking.
I almost spit it on the mic, Derek.
Don't
thanks.
Do that.
I told you to keep talking. Not look at me.
I have to look at you when I talk.
Well, it's you didn't talk. You stopped talking.
I was waiting for you to enjoy.
I told you just to keep
my
rolling.
My brother's cup.
You got to keep. I keep the show going. Vamping. Silence is the enemy.
I know how it works. But you were just poised so well there. I was letting you have your moment with your mug.
My Batman mug.
Your love affair that you're having with your Batman mug.
Coffee's getting cold.
In your brother's cup. It's time for a refill.
About is. Anyway. What we got on the show today, Derek?
Well, Emma Crawford's going to be joining us.
Emma Crawford.
In a little while, discussing a reading program called Somersault. And we've also got Bobby Harrison joining us live via satellite from Jackson.
That's right.
To discuss Medicaid.
Okay, so let's bring in Bobby Harrison, Daily Journal Capital Bureau reporter. Bobby, how you doing?
All right, how you doing?
Doing well, man. Just want to talk a little bit about Medicaid. Had a good story in there this past weekend about the funding, and the Mississippi Medicaid program looks like it'll top $1 billion for the first time if the $71 million deficit request is approved by the legislature. First, Bobby, just tell me, what is this request for exactly?
Well, it's just for growth in the program. It'll top $1 billion either for this fiscal year if they fund the deficit request when the session begins in January, or it's top $1 billion for the next fiscal year, which begins on July 1st. A lot of the legislative leadership has expressed concern that the program's growth has taken money away from other agencies, away from education. Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves said the money should be, he'd rather spend the money on education than on health care. In 2008, according to the numbers Medicaid gave me, state spent $585 million roughly on Medicaid, and now it's poised to top $1 billion either this budget year or next budget year. Just a little bit about the program, Brad. Medicaid in Mississippi is Medicaid's a federal state program, and Mississippi Medicaid covers poor pregnant women, poor children, the disabled, and certain segments of the elderly population. You have grandparents or parents in the nursing home. Mississippi, there's a 90% chance that nursing home care is being paid for through Medicaid. 90% of the people in nursing homes in Mississippi, roughly 90%, are on Medicaid. Now, the flip side of this argument is that Mississippi has the best matching rate in the country because we're a poor state with a lot of major health concerns. For every dollar spent on Medicaid in Mississippi, roughly 76% or 76 cents of it is paid by the federal government. So while some people are complaining about the cost of the Medicaid to the state, other people are saying without Medicaid, the state would be in a lot worse shape. And some people also argue that the federal funds coming into the Medicaid program is a big economic driver for the state because, you know, this money goes to hospitals, and a lot of areas, hospitals, the biggest employer, the biggest economic development engine. Even in Tupelo, we have a diverse workforce and diverse sets of industry, but probably North Mississippi Medical Center is probably the biggest economic engine in the area. So Medicaid is taking a lot of money from the state that could go to other agencies, but you can make the case that without Medicaid, tax revenues would be lower, so there'd be less money for it. There'd still be less money for those agencies. So it's kind of a catch-22.
Yeah, Representative Steve Holland from over here in Plantersville made that point in your story. You know, with all the health indicators that are on the bad side for Mississippi, he says without the Medicaid program, that money it actually would cost Mississippi more. You know, he says to look at it as how much is Medicaid saving us? You know, I guess it's maybe, Bobby, just how you look at the numbers. I mean, because like you said, if people don't get this Medicaid, then their health suffers, and you know, that has a ripple effect.
Yeah. Now, you know, we do hear so much about the Federal Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare by some, and that act allows states to expand Medicaid to cover the working poor, and just poor people in general don't fit in those other categories I talked about a while ago. And of course, Mississippi is one of now a minority of states that have not expanded Medicaid. So we have a sort of restrictive program. We cover a smaller group of people than other states, a lot of other states cover. In other words, there's a lot more people in Mississippi without any type of health care coverage than in most of the other states. And so that's a drain on the hospitals, and Medicaid for the poor pregnant women, poor children, and the disabled and the elderly people, kind of the hospitals kind of depend on that money to survive. In addition, the Affordable Care Act has increased the roles in Mississippi like it has other states, because with the Affordable Care Act, it's a little bit easier to get on Medicaid. They changed the eligibility requirements. So essentially, more people are eligible under the Affordable Care Act than in those segments of the population I talked about a while ago than they were previously. So that has increased the roles slightly in Mississippi, and which has added to the cost. But the cost is going up in all the states. The cost would be going up with or without the Affordable Care Act. It's just, you know, since I can remember, healthcare costs has been a rising cost for governments, but also for companies and anybody that provides health care for their employers or their citizens. It's just a rising cost.
All right, Bobby. Good stuff, man. Appreciate your time. You can find this story at djournal.com and in Sunday's Journal. Bobby, thank you.
Thank you.
Always good to talk about Medicaid, Derek. One day we'll be on it.
I already am. Beating the system one day at a time. Moving from Medicaid to reading, which a lot of people need to do if they're on Medicaid.
Yes.
You have to read the prescription.
The prescription bottles.
Yeah, that was a reach for a segue, but I went with it. Emma Crawford joining us today. Emma, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Derek?
Doing well. Talk to us about Somersault. This is a summer reading program at the Orchard Church. That's what just ended or will be coming next summer?
Well, they've done it for a few summers now at the Orchard, but they're trying to expand it. They're looking for another local church or even, you know, in Pontotoc or in Moorville and just in a surrounding city that would want to do the camp at their own church. And so they've gotten a grant from CREATE, and they're going to use that to help a new church start up their own program. So they're looking for somebody, you know, a church that would be willing to do it and that would have good teachers in the area that would come in and help teach it for some kids in a different, you know, part of town. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
They've been partnering with local businesses as well to kind of serve as a guide for this thing.
Right. You know, they're trying to make it a nonprofit organization so that they can use that to help get it spread to different churches.
They've been working specifically with Tupelo Public School District to get this going, though, correct?
Yeah.
What was this kind of born out of?
Well, you mean like the very beginning?
Yeah.
Okay. Marissa Rambo, who started, she's director of missions at the Orchard. And she, you know, they were trying to come up with some sort of missions to do. And she was like, I wanted to do something different. We have a lot of, you know, food pantries and that kind of thing. And she was like, I just saw a need for reading. I mean, Mississippi, we don't have the greatest literacy scores and rates and all that kind of stuff. And so she was like, I think that's something we need and something that we could do. And so she just kind of dove in and got the school district to help, and out of that came this camp and now this nonprofit, and hopefully more camps.
It's grown to the fact they had about 120 kids this past summer.
Yeah, 120 this past summer. And she said she hopes that they can get like 60 kids in a new one for this summer. So mm-hmm. wherever they do a new branch of it, they want to hopefully have 60 kids in it.
And they're looking for a 3-year commitment of whatever they mm-hmm. go forward with, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah.
To be able to impact even more children as a result of this. Yeah.
She said she really hopes it'll catch on, you know, this summer, if they could get at least one other church to do it, and then just to grow from there and be able to serve the whole area. She was really excited. So I hope it does well. Hope it catches on.
Doesn't sound like it'd be a problem for anybody to latch onto this. Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah, just sounds like it's win-win for everybody involved.
I would say so.
All right, Emma Crawford, thank you for joining us. I always like saying your full name. I don't do that for anybody
well,
else.
Well, you're going to have to say something new soon. Yeah. So.
Are we hyphenating or are we going to...
No, I'm just full on going.
Just Kent.
Emma
Reporter
Kent.
That
has a nice ring to it.
It's kind of Jane Austen, you know?
Emma Kent.
Yeah.
People have to get used to it. Who's this new reporter?
She's not just randomly changing her name, folks. She's getting married.
She's getting married. On Halloween, right?
On Halloween.
Yes. We need to talk about that with her sometime soon.
You go right ahead.
A Halloween wedding. I guess we could talk about it right now.
Brad's officiating.
Why Halloween?
Because I wanted to wear a costume. I'm just kidding. I'm wearing a normal wedding dress. It's a normal wedding.
It's as good a reason as any. I mean, this is basically about the bride anyway. The wedding is. I mean, it always is.
It's an off weekend for football.
Bam.
If I'm being honest.
She gets it, guys. She gets it.
Well, she's getting married on campus at State, too.
Yeah.
So.
I don't want to share my Saturday with a bunch of tailgaters.
But, exactly. But now all your friends will appreciate
you.
But
what a heck of a reception.
True.
That would be.
True.
Jacob's a lucky man.
At the Chapel of Memories?
Yes, at the
Everybody's
Chapel of Memories.
Everybody's invited, so come on out to... No,
get there
kidding.
Early. Might not be any
seating
seats.
Is limited at the Chapel of Memories. Well, congrats to you again. We'll get used to saying your new name when the time comes.
All right.
Tell me some things that happen in the world of the police force.
Oh, yes, it's Monday. We get to look at crime reports.
As we're moving away from Medicaid and reading, I want to know... Who got arrested and why?
Well, let's start in Morville.
Good place to start with people getting arrested and why.
A woman arrived at her Highway 178 Morville home around noon and found a white man lying on her front porch steps. It's not good.
I just needed a nap.
The man asked her to call 911 because he was having a heart attack.
My God, woman.
Just showed up on her porch and had a heart attack. The woman got back in her car, locked the doors, and called 911.
What? He's having a heart attack,
The man got up and ran into the woods.
As you would if you were having a heart attack.
So I'm guessing he wasn't really having a heart attack.
Well...
But here's the confusing part. He asked her to call 911.
Yeah.
She did. Then he's like, oh, crap. She called the police.
Heart attack, woods. I mean...
So I'm pretty sure... I'm not convinced he actually was having a heart attack.
Well...
But I'm not sure what his thinking was because she did what he wanted. And why, I don't... It's confusing. Making my brain hurt. Let's go to the next one.
Moving on.
Guntown. Oh, it's online dating in Guntown, Derek. Always an adventure. Guntown man met a woman online. They met for dinner that night in Tupelo.
It's James.
Move fast. I don't know if it's James. He said she was not who she claimed to be online. Maybe it was James that was the woman, quote unquote. Not
the female James.
He said she was not who she claimed to be online, so he paid for the meal and left. She got mad, initiated an argument by text. He asked her to stop texting, but she continued. So that's
James.
That could be. Online dating doesn't always work. I wouldn't know. It wasn't around when I was of dating age. Way back
For online dating?
Way back in the 90s.
I was going to say, was the internet even around?
The internet, yes, oh, Derek, okay. The internet was around.
Sorry.
I mean, I had to use those little AOL discs to get online, but yeah, we had the internet.
You're old.
Shut up.
You've got a date.
Yeah. I remember being in high school and hearing about email. I was like, what's email? I had no idea.
In high school?
And when I was in high school. I graduated in 94.
See, I thought you were 40.
Almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
94 was, I think, the first time I ever... Was around the internet or 93, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah, me too. So right around there.
The difference is I was in fifth grade.
I had like two friends that had cell phones at that time. It was like the coolest thing. It's like, can I borrow your cell phone?
Big ones?
Yeah, the big
Zach Morris.
And they pull them out, and then the bottom one friend had the one that the bottom flip pulled out, slid out.
Yes,
that's pretty cool.
I would still take one of those today. I would give up everything that you can do on a phone, Facebook, Twitter. I'd give up all that texting just to be able to say this is my. You don't have an address book. You have to memorize everybody's number, but that thing is fantastic.
I used to be pretty good at remembering numbers. You know, I wonder if retro phones will make a comeback, like vinyl. Maybe not.
Oh, like vinyl. I thought you said like Lionel.
Like vinyl.
Like Richie?
Vinyl. Need to enunciate.
Vinyl never went away.
True.
That's
it just
my
kind
interpretation of that.
Fell into the background for a little while.
Anybody else of note?
Oh, we've got one that I don't know if it's related to a previous report, but officers responded to an accident on South Gloucester around 12:30 p.m., okay, lunchtime. Found a female driver at a nearby business. She was unsteady on her feet and smelled of alcohol. She'd been drinking vodka and cranberry juice earlier that morning, but stopped around 10.
Mm-hmm. But stopped around 10.
Yes. She was arrested for DUI, et cetera. Wonder if she's related or knows the guy that remember the week before. Not James, but the guy that with the fireball.
Oh, that was going on the Burger
the
Run.
The Burger Run, yeah.
Burger Run guy. He's a favorite.
Yeah, so maybe she was on a Burger Run for him.
So far, James and Heart Attack Woods and Burger Run all need to get together and swap war stories.
Nothing like vodka for breakfast.
And cranberry juice.
That's a good breakfast
she
drink.
She's getting her...
It's good for you. Antioxidants.
Her fruit in.
Yeah. There you go. Finally, this one's short but not so sweet. A Saltillo woman evicted a couple from her rental house. The suspects threatened to burn down her house and to, quote, set them up with drugs. I don't know who them is.
You know.
Well,
you know.
I don't know.
No,
like,
you know.
Is she talking about framing this person?
Yes.
Okay, because I thought maybe the drugs were going to...
Read it again, but change the emphasis you put on it.
The suspects threatened to burn down her house and to set them up with drugs.
Okay. Plan them.
I guess so. I thought maybe they were going to try to sell drugs out of the house that they just burned down. But
although telling somebody you're going to set them up really kind of takes away from the whole...
element of surprise thing. It's yeah, well, some people aren't smart.
We're going to set you up with cocaine. Not now you're not. I know.
You've told me
it's
this. I'm going to go ahead and go to the police.
I don't know why I went to cocaine.
And tell them what you're doing.
Did you see the headline today? I forget who ran it. It was 5 arrested in math lab bust.
Math lab.
In Kentucky. Yeah, that was one of the headlines I saw this morning.
Dang mathematicians. Nothing but trouble.
It was math. Spoiler alert.
Meth in Kentucky?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Could you believe that?
Weird.
It's math in Kentucky?
Math in Kentucky. Even more surprising.
Well, I think that does it for us today, unless you have any more jewels of the Nile to
That's
share
it.
With
I us. Hope we didn't alienate all our Kentucky listeners.
That's okay. All both of you.
Yes.
Over there in Kentucky. Math is not illegal in Kentucky.
No,
meth
it's not.
Meth is.
Meth is illegal in all 50 states.
There's 50 now?
I know.
Good for us. Oh, that is it for another Monday. We hope we got you through it on this afternoon. We're going to be back on Wednesday live from the Career Expo at the Bancorp South Arena.
That'll be fun.
Our first live taping.
Can come by and heckle us.
Heckles.
We're recording live. We won't be, it won't be coming out live, so don't look for it till Wednesday afternoon.
Well, we'll be there technicality. Live taping
We'll
it.
Be recording live.
Be live for us, not for our listeners.
Took away the. Speaking of taking away the element of surprise, we just totally stripped it. We're totally live right now. As you're listening, we're in your car. We're in your back seat. Please stay on the road. Don't swerve. And but we will come to you Monday afternoon. And when you hear us, we will
Wednesday.
Have recorded live.
Wednesday.
What did I say?
You said Monday.
It is Monday afternoon, and they're listening to us right now. I don't understand what the problem is. I said nothing wrong.
Okay.
And then, in fact, we will come back to you on Wednesday.
And we'll be in your car.
Don't correct me.
Not literally in your car.
In your speakers.
Yes. You know, when I was a kid.
Please tell me this story.
I
was
very small. When the radio came on, I really thought there were, like, tiny musicians inside the speakers, inside the radio
and
playing.
That's the image we're going to leave you with on this Monday. You can find us on Twitter at Twitter. The new Twitter, Twinner. It's when you find your identical twin. Twitter at DJournal Memo and also at DJournal Now on the Twitter, DJournal.com, where you can find all the news we talked about today. Mm-hmm. Tipsheet.DJournal.com
yes.
for the latest mugshots and Offense Reports.
Oh, yeah.
Always a good roundup of news there, brought to you by Brad Lockie.
Lockie.
And also our home on the internet, memo.djournal.com. Go to iTunes, leave us a review.
Yeah. And also, we need to remind you of Thrive Marketing. Let me get the sheet here. It's a full-service digital marketing company located right here in Tupelo, providing website, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses. Thrive.ms. I almost got through that without messing up.
You do that so well. We'll be back to you on Wednesday with a brand new episode full of news from Northeast Mississippi.
Later.